And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 5th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Again, this is Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Yesterday kicked off the offseason. It was bittersweet. It's still bittersweet. I'm really excited that the playoffs are here. I talked about this yesterday. It's more fun to watch the playoffs, actually, when your team hasn't lost 18 in a row and continues that losing streak. It's more fun to watch. It really is. I think it's more excited. It's easier to get excited about it, I think. And Boston will play the Yankees tonight in the American League wildcard game. Cardinals, Dodgers tomorrow. White Sox, Astros. That's a battle of a couple evils there. There's such thing in decision making, avoidance, which means it's two bad choices, but you got to make a choice. And I'm definitely going to be hoping the Astros win that series, just because I don't want to see the White Sox have any sort of run this October. So Houston for just a series, and then I will not cheer for the Astros after that. Probably the Rays, hoping Nelly gets a chance to win a World Series. I think it's so easy to cheer for him, even though the Rays, I think, from an outside view, misunderstood, not the easiest to cheer for. Like, I would have cheered for the Blue Jays if they were in it. But I think it's a tough field to pick one out and say, this is my team that I'm going to, like, jump on the back of. But I'll do it for Tampa slightly just because Nelly's there. I will jump on the back of Tampa. But today we're going to look at, and I told you, we're going to look at the first 20 games of this Twins season. Fascinating. 20 plus. It's like the first 22. But fascinating to see. I think you're really, really, really going to be interested. You know, looking back, it feels like it was yesterday, but also feels like it was forever ago. Looking back at what happened over these first handful of games for the Twins, one of the worst stretches of baseball you'll ever see from your team. Like, some of these numbers are insane. So we're going to look at that today. Looking ahead, report cards are coming. So we're going to break down every player who appeared for the Twins this year. The bigger the stars, the key players will have their own episode, or they'll have half an episode for themselves. You know, guys that are under control for next year as well are going to be emphasized in episodes, more so than free agents. And then when we have like the role players and those free agents, we'll probably lump them into an episode together. So you'll have like four or five report cards in one episode. But guys like Polanco and Luis Arraez and Byron Buxton, they're either going to be with one other report card or they're going to have their own episode. I think Buxton will have his own episode because it was just amazing. I think Polanco probably should too. Might link him with Arraez because I think it's an interesting juxtaposition with the future as well with those two. But those are coming. Season in review is going to continue. Like, we're going to look at, I think, a lot of, and Dan and Aaron wrote about this at The Athletic, really, really good job of kind of linking the first day of the Twins season, opening day, and these first 20 or so games to what happened the rest of the year, like setting the tone, because it really did set the tone. So you can see a lot of it early, but we're going to look at, you know, the next 25 or so, the next 30 or so, we're going to look at all of those little segments of the season, things that went wrong, pitching and offensively, in the field, in the clubhouse, everything that we know of that went wrong in that time. And then things did get better for the Twins as the season went on. Like, they, I would say, hit an equilibrium at a certain point. You know, in their last 2 months, they were 29 and 28. So it wasn't like all everything went wrong all year. Like, they had some good stretches. They beat some good teams. They won some series against good teams. It didn't mean anything, but at least they hit an equilibrium. And I think that does matter. Like, it made it a lot easier for me. I think it made it a lot easier for fans to see them actually try. They continued to try to win. Like, they fought until the end, I think. And that's better than not fighting to the end. I'm not saying that that's like a super admirable thing, but it is better than not fighting till the end. And I do think it's a testament to the talent that they have. Like, it's hard to have, when Byron Buxton's playing every day, when he was healthy, you know, at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year, it's really difficult with that production to not win at least like half your games. Like the Twins were a game below 500 when he started this year, which I think is hard to do considering what he did when he was on the field. Like he impacted games so much and in such distinct ways that you have to be pretty poor in other areas to like have a solid losing record when he plays, I think. And that's putting a lot of pressure on him generally, but I'm saying the production that he had this year, like if he's giving you that on a day-to-day basis, it's hard not to win a lot of ball games with him in the lineup. You know, and I don't expect him to have like this sort of amazing season over a full season, but I think something close to it. And that's why we always talk about the importance of him and the importance of him in this Twins lineup, kind of the key for this Twins lineup. Had five takeaways yesterday. Buxton was part of that. The bullpen, there's some bullpen talk as part of that too. A little bit of rotation talk as well. So if you want to hear the five takeaways from the final weekend in Kansas City, check that one out. And then we talked about the Twins MVP, Jorge Polanco, winning Twins MVP, runaway Twins MVP this year. Even with the year that Buxton had in 61 games, Polanco was great over 150+, and really kind of at points of this season, he won games for the Twins. I think he had four walk-offs. He had an amazing year. Broke him down last night. We'll also talk about Polanco's year more so in his report card. And in these report cards, we're going to have like Statcast profiles, and it'll also be partly a projection for next year. But this offseason, too, we're going to have player projections, so I don't want to step on my toes too much in that way. But we'll look ahead and be like, is this sustainable for Polanco? Is this sustainable for Buxton? We'll look at the underlying numbers. You know, is there hope that Max Kepler can bounce back offensively because of his underlying numbers? We'll look at all those things. After the break, let's talk about what went wrong early for the Twins this year. Looking back, I think you're going to be interested to hear just how crazy some of these numbers are. And in the moment, you don't have a chance as much to discuss these numbers. So let's look at that after the break. Thank you again for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. This episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. It's a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Prices are reliably low for every customer, and they have everything you could need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Go to rockauto.com. Tell them Locked On sent you. So looking back at the beginning of the season for the Twins, when things really unraveled early and we got a sense of what was going to kind of take place this year and the hole that was that they dug themselves early, I think it starts with this. Your ace, the ace of the staff who finished second in the Cy Young voting last year, his first five starts, Kenta Maeda had a 6.17 ERA. That's not struggling. That's like massively underperforming. 6.17 ERA. The Twins went 1-4 in Maeda's first five starts. He was fine on opening day, but you could see command issues early on. He had command issues for much of the season before he got hurt. You know, he had a stretch there in July where he was very good, but his first five starts had an ERA over 6. So full stop right there. If your ace has an ERA over 6 in a handful of starts, that's not good. I mean, that already puts you at a disadvantage. Your number five starter, Matt Shoemaker, in his first five starts, not as important because, you know, you didn't expect that ace-level production that you expected from Kenta Maeda, 7.83 ERA. If Shoemaker had a 6 ERA like Maeda, that's a little bit different, but 7.83 in his first five starts. Twins, 1-4 in Shoemaker's first five starts. ERA nearly 8. Untenable. Tyler Duffy, your eighth inning, you know, fireman, right-handed, high leverage, one of the best relievers in the game the last 2 years. His first five outings, 4.50 ERA. And that's not horrible on the surface, but for him, that's bad. That's like two runs higher than what it's been in the last 2 years. Twins, when Tyler Duffy pitched, 1-4. Alexander Colomé, your biggest, you know, signing in the bullpen of the offseason, maybe their biggest signing in the bullpen in the last couple years. First five outings, this is supposed to be your closer. Like, this is a co-closer with Taylor Rogers. And Taylor Rogers was very good. Berríos was pretty solid. Michael Pineda was very good over their first five outings. But these guys were so bad that it made it really hard to make up for it. Alexander Colomé, your closer, your right-handed highest leverage option. 6.75 ERA. Twins went 2-3 in those five outings. 6.75 for your late-inning, high-leverage reliever that you signed in the offseason. Those numbers are so bad for those four. Again, really hard to make up for that. Really hard to make up for it. Also, things that happened in the first 20 or so games of the season. Josh Donaldson pulls his hammy on opening day. That sucked. Twins blew that game. That sucked. Alexander Colomé blew that game. Andrelton Simmons made an error. But even with that, they won that series in Milwaukee. They came back home. They destroyed in the home opener. They started the season 5-2. And they actually went to Detroit, too, and won 2 out of 3. They started the season 5-2. And they scored 46 runs and gave up just 20 in those 7 games. And then all hell broke loose. They lost 9 of their next 10. And you think back and you think, oh, the pitching was awful. Yes, it was. The pitching had a 6.14 ERA in that span. But the offense averaged 3.3 runs per game in that 1-9 stretch. They went 2-13. This is one of the worst stretches that you can ever see from your ball club. They went 2-13 from April 10th to April 27th, and they gave up 24 home runs. The offense, the Twins' offense, hit 214. On-base percentage was below 280, and they slugged 328 and averaged just a tick over 3 runs per game, while their pitching staff had an over 6 ERA. So that is the worst ball that you can play. That's the worst baseball that you could possibly play. What makes this even more incredible to me is Byron Buxton hit 275 with an OPS over 1,000 and drove in 8 runs in that span. So imagine if Byron Buxton was not in that lineup, how bad this offense would be, well below 3 runs per game. The Twins would not be even close to being in these games without Byron Buxton. The offense still it hit only 214 with Buxton winning Player of the Month. And that's a huge, huge portion of April right there. How much did that matter? Because it's a 162-game season. Even I was saying at that point, stick around, like the Twins will be okay. It's a tough stretch, but I don't know if I believe that in my heart. Their postseason odds on April 10th were 80.6%. I think that was after the 5-2 start. 80.6%. Can you believe the Twins had an over 80% chance to make the playoffs at any point this year? On April 28th, those dropped to 21.7%, nearly 60% decrease in their chance to make the postseason. That stretch mattered a ton. Let's talk about more that stretch, why it mattered, and some more unfortunate things that happened to the Twins in the first 20-plus games of the year after this word from BetOnline. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Again, back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron. Teams are back for another football season. BetOnline's your number one spot. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. So in lieu of the playoffs starting, I will inform you that the Twins went 21-34 against playoff teams this year. Not good. It's what you would expect in a season like this. They won 73 games. They were 13 below 500 against playoff clubs. 6-13 against the White Sox, 4-3 against Houston, 3-3 against Tampa, 1-6 against the Yankees. So they went 7-19 against the White Sox and Yankees combined, the two biggest rivals. If it didn't sting enough, the Twins went 7-19 against the White Sox and Yankees. I think the White Sox scored approximately a bajillion runs against the Twins. Yankees were close to that. So why did the beginning of the season matter so much? Well, it put the Twins in an immediate hole, and that's highlighted by their postseason odds dropping by nearly 60%. They were in an immediate hole right out of the gate. But that doesn't always matter. Like, look at the Yankees. They got in a hole. It wasn't this type of hole. They got in a hole. The Braves got in a hole. And they both came back and they won. You know, the Cardinals got in a little bit of a hole in the first half. They came back and won and made the playoffs. All three of those teams made the playoffs. And I remember during this time, Matthew Trueblood, who's been on the show multiple times, tweeted and said, it's only late if you're not good enough. He said that in June. So if you're at the end of April, it's definitely not late. It's not too late at all. It's 162 games. It's a six-month season. But there was concern because we needed to see the Twins start to play better. But why it mattered that they went 2-13 over that stretch is because their flaws were completely exposed. Like, they were so bad that even if they improved, which they did improve, they weren't going to get to the point where they could go on this amazing run. Like, I think I realized that. I think that was realized at a certain point. Like, these flaws are so obvious. Like, the bullpen, the back end of the bullpen, Alexander Colomé just losing it. The rotation, the back end of the rotation, Kenta Maeda's command. Like, these flaws were so obvious to the naked eye that it was really hard, I think, to believe for a lot of people at that point that they would make a run. Like, it was so bad, and like in all facets of the game was so poor that it just was hard to think to yourself that this could be turned around in a way that was significant enough to get them back into the picture. It was too bad. And, you know, it was so bad that it had to be partially true, right? Because it's not often you see teams go, I mean, the Nationals in 2019 famously started 19-31. That's more of an exception to the rule, I think. I think it does highlight that how you start doesn't always dictate whether you'll make the playoffs or not, or whether you'll be able to make a run. But there was just something about this Twins team that just, it just wasn't going to happen. Like, you just knew it just wasn't going to happen. And that's kind of the point there. It was so bad that it had to be partially true. Like, there had to be some validity to it. And there was. Like, we continued to see that there was validity to their flaws, that a lot of these guys continued to struggle until they were cut or traded. J-Hap, Matt Shoemaker, you know, Andrelton Simmons was bad all year. These things happened, and they continued to happen. And it showed up in an extreme way early. Like, it was extreme. But it showed up, and J-Hap was actually very good over his first handful of starts before the White Sox destroyed him, and then he just nosedive after that. But these things showed up, a lot of them early, and you just had to think to yourself, there's too many flaws here. And I kept belief for a decent amount of time. I think my belief, a lot of it was in that this can't possibly be true. Like, this can't possibly happen this year. This team was supposed to be so good. How can they go 2-13? Not to mention, that was not a 2-13 stretch against, like, they had a stretch this year where they played the Rays, the Astros, the White Sox, and Milwaukee, I think, all in a row. And they actually played very well in that stretch for the most part. I think they had a winning record in that stretch. But this stretch of 15 games was against the Pirates. Cleveland was in there. I think Texas was in there. It was like a bunch of non-playoff teams. Seattle had a good year, but they didn't end up making the playoffs. So this wasn't like a really difficult stretch. They were losing to teams that were either bad or teams that missed the playoffs. It was not good. It was really, really ugly. And I don't think you can get much worse than that other than losing those two games that you won out of 15. And one of them was Max Kepler's walk-off against Boston. They almost lost that game too. But it started so poorly. I think a lot of the morale was hurt. And then they're in Oakland. And this makes it just almost simulation-like. Actually, they were in Anaheim. And they have a COVID outbreak. In the middle of this awful stretch, the team has a COVID outbreak. And it's like, what else can you add into this that would make it seem less real? Like, it was just so unbelievable how negative this season started. And how many things were going wrong. And there was just one beaming light. And I don't want to cut out. There's 26 guys on the team, plus like the other 50 who appeared for the Twins this year. And Pineda pitched well. And like I said, Hap was pitching well, actually. And, you know, Barrios was fine. But the one beaming light in all of it was Byron Buxton. And it was that much more frustrating. This made it even worse that Buxton was playing so well at the level we knew he could play. And the Twins were still losing. And losing in just embarrassing fashion or in heartbreaking fashion. That made it all the worse. We're going to continue this on tomorrow. You know, I want to use this as a way to look forward to next year too. And this offseason, we're going to do that. But it's interesting to look back, and it's interesting to see how things started and how that impacted the rest of the season, because it really did. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day. Go Twins. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Enjoy the playoffs.